The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. Wasn't it interesting listening to Nicole and Chris talking about their adventures in the film world? I don't know about you. I think Nicole has about 7 jobs at the moment. I was absolutely exhausted just listening to them. But we need people like that, and we need people fired and powered by the Holy Spirit, as she obviously is in her vocation in the arts world. Isn't it wonderful? So let's remember them in this next 30 minutes. We're remembering you as well. Remember, this is the Divine Mercy Chapel at the time when we're praying for you. Whether you're listening in your car, whether you're listening in your home, or whether you're listening in your sickbed, we are praying for you by virtue of the fact that you are listening to us. And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it. We're going to pray for you. But if you would like us to pray for something specific, then we're very happy to do that as well. And you can text us on 251-928-2111. Lines are open now. Or if you want to call in and tell us what's on your mind, you can do that as well on 888-928-0881. So we have the Confraternity of Prayer Warriors at this time, where I am joined by very brave individuals who enter into the spiritual battle with me for the next 30 minutes. And so far, they come from all across the Archdiocese of Mobile, and we've even had some international callers as well from Canada and Europe. Only too happy to join in this fight for you, because this, we're engaged in a battle, and it's a battle for hearts, minds, and souls. And it's trying to dispel the darkness by asking that the Lord of Light, the Lord, our Divine Lord, enter into these situations with the divine mercy. Okay, so at this point, I ask Reed, do we have any prayer warriors today?
We sure do, Kevin. In the studio with us is Miss Mary Trawick, as well as Miss Pam Aist.
Mary and Pam, you're very welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Did you like our little fanfare for you?
I absolutely was inspired. Yes. Charge.
Well, that's what we're going to do, right? We're going to charge into the world of trying to help other people. That's why we're here. We're trying to pray for other people. And somehow to dispel whatever's on their mind, whatever's on their hearts, whatever's on heavy on their hearts, heavy on their minds, heavy on their feet, whatever it is today, we're going to pray for that. Because I don't know about you, Pam or Mary, but there's always something that needs praying for, right?
Yes. All the time, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit like taxes. They're always there, right?
Yes, they're definitely there.
Good. Now, remind me, Mary and Pam, which parishes you're from.
Christ the King.
The King in Daphne.
Yes. And I have been on with my sister Rose.
Oh, I know that.
Yes.
I remember you. You've been on, and you've been on without your sister as well, I think.
Yes, I've been on with Pam before.
Yes, with
She's came in.
Pam came on once before, because
yes,
I remember your voice as well, Pam.
Right. Mm-hmm. So thankful for her to come.
Listen, I may not be with you, but thanks to the wonders of technology, I see everything. And I remember both of you very much, Pam and Mary.
Thank you.
And very, very appreciative
you,
of
Kevin.
You taking time out and coming in and praying with me today from Christ the King. A wonderful parish, some lovely people. Everybody who's been on from there spoke so highly of it, so highly of your pastors, school, everything. Just sounds like a wonderful, wonderful place.
Yes, it
and,
is.
I hope you see Archangel Radio as the kind of radio station that is an adjunct to all the good things happening in your parish.
100%, yes. Yes.
That's great. Fantastic. And both you ladies are aficionados of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, so I don't need to explain anything to you. And you're both veterans now of this confraternity of prayer warriors, so I don't even need to explain that. So shall we begin?
Yes.
Okay, beads at the ready, ladies.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together three times, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. That's us up and running. Now, I've had a couple of texts while we've been on air, and I'm not sure whether this is a prayer or an observation, but it's a quote from St. John Paul II, and it goes as follows. Christianity is a body of fixed beliefs rather than a faith that ought to be adapted to modern circumstances. Well, whoever texted that in, we're very grateful for that reminder. You're absolutely correct. Our beliefs are fixed rather than sort of vague ideas around faith, and they are not to be adapted to whatever the passing fads are. So thank you for that reminder, and we'll pray for that texter in. I'm not sure if it's directed at me, that maybe you think that I have sort of faddish beliefs about the faith. I can assure you I do not. But anyway, thank you for that. But on a more serious point, we've been asked by an anonymous texter to pray for Joseph, her son Joseph, and his family on his birthday today. So Joseph and his family, we've been asked to pray. And I think this is his mother, because she says, and couldn't we have some more grandchildren? Prayers for more grandchildren. Oh, I don't know about you, Mary and Pam. That sounds like a mother's prayer for more grandchildren. Okay. So Anonymous, thank you, first of all, for texting in. And we will pray for Joseph and his family. And I hope he just has a wonderful birthday, a wonderful celebration, a reminder that he's loved by you and by his family, and that he's also loved by our Father, Lord. Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Pam, and thank you, Mary. And Joseph, happy birthday if you're listening. If your mother sends you this on the podcast or whatever, we're wishing you many, many happy returns and also many, many more children. Okay, who wants to go first? Pam or Mary? You choose.
Pam.
Well, had some sad news yesterday that a friend from church has been told that her cancer has returned, and this time it is in the brain. Right. And she's leaving today to go to MD Anderson. And her request is that she do an act as God wants her to act during this time.
That's very, very impressive, Pam. You mean she's completely at the will of God?
Yes, yes, that's how she is. And also, I have a request from Louise, who just found out she has breast cancer. In fact, when she went a few weeks ago for her biopsy, she got in the car and turned on the radio, and Divine Mercy was on. And anyway, she just is concerned about what treatment she should have. She's, wants to do what she should do and is concerned. She has options.
Okay. Pam, well, I think that's... do you mind sharing the name of the first person? Maybe you prefer not to.
Jane Mooney.
Jane, who's going to MD Anderson. So we got Jane and we got Louise. And I think this decade, we'll just pray for those two now.
Thank you.
God is greater than cancer. I know that's a strange thing to say, but he is. He's greater than cancer, and we pray for miracles on this show. And let's pray that God's will be done in Jane and Louise's life, but we're asking for mercy on these two women. And, thank you so much, Pam, for bringing them to us so that we can pray for them today. And do let them know that they've been prayed for, and we'd like to pray for them again. Keep us informed on their journey, because the thing about illness, if anybody's suffered it, is that sense of being alone and loneliness. And as Christians, we should never let our brothers and sisters feel like that. So Louise and Jane, we'd like to accompany you in this journey, that God's will be done in your life. We also pray for a miracle.
Yes.
Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Pam, and thank you, Mary. And Louise and Jane, we really do mean it. Keep us posted. We'll be very, very happy to continue to pray for you in the coming days and weeks. Now, ladies, while we've been on air, we've had another text from a Louise. Louise, good morning to you. You're a faithful texter, and we love your text. Keep texting, Louise. Even if it's for the same thing, we don't mind. So Louise is texting, as usual, for Hugh. And we pray for Hugh, that Hugh's doing very well wherever he is, and that he's healed in whatever manner that the Lord wills. And we're also praying for that healthy grandbaby that's due on March 27th. I don't know if you heard yesterday, ladies, but Louise dialed in about that. And we've kind of adopted this little unborn child, praying that on March 27th, a bouncing baby will be delivered, screaming out the divine mercy, probably at this rate of going. So we pray for that, Louise, and we're very happy to do so. But on a sadder note, Louise is asking prayers for a dear friend whose beloved stepmother is dying. And Louise will definitely pray for that dying woman this morning. This prayer is especially appropriate, especially apt for any soul that is going to that final moment of life. And on this Wednesday, we ask for the patron of the dying, St. Joseph, to also comfort this woman and her family today. So, Louise, thank you for getting in touch and be assured of our prayers. And you know what, Louise? Keep texting in. Every day, we're very, very happy to pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Pam, and thank you, Mary. Now we're going to the fourth decade, and I look to you, Mary. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I would like to pray for the victims of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and not just for the ones that obviously lost their lives and their families, but those who have had catastrophic injuries and are trapped and need to get out, that God would have mercy on them and save them.
Absolutely, Mary. I think I turned on the radio this morning and I couldn't believe the sort of the toll so far. I mean, it's many thousands are dead and probably many more injured and homes destroyed, people's livelihoods gone. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. So thank you, Mary, for bringing that to us. And let's pray this decade for all of those victims. The Lord knows who they are. The Lord knows what their needs are at this time. And if there's anybody trapped there in particular, we pray that the emergency services will be able to get to them and free them. And we also pray for a generosity from the world to help the people of those troubled countries. Syria in particular seems to have been through so much in these last few years. We pray that people's hearts will be opened and generous, and that other governments and agencies will be able to help the people who are forsaken at the moment in that situation. But above all, we ask for your divine mercy upon those lands and upon those people. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, ladies. Now, I've just had a compliment passed to me for you both. And it is as follows that our producers are loving hearing the sound of your rosary beads shuffling over the audio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's, you know, it's good. Okay. And it's, and in some ways, it's kind of reassuring. I heard it as well. And, the sound of somebody praying, you know, the silent movement of those beads, which we've all heard, maybe our mothers or grandmothers, there's something sort of reassuring about it. Don't you find, Pam and Mary?
Yeah. Yes.
So thank you for bringing those audio effects. The only problem is now that I'm going to have to task Mike and Reed to go out and buy a giant pair of rosary beads so we can really have the effects every single day. So thank you, Pam and Mary, for they'll be thanking you even more by the end of the show. But no, but thank you for that. And thank you both for coming in. Now, this final decade, I'm going to ask if you've got any kind of, you know, intentions. You've prayed for some wonderful intentions, both of you, but I'd like you to pray for things that you need. Okay, Pam, Mary, just have a think about that while I ask Reed. Reed, is there anything or anyone you would like us to pray for?
I would love to pray for all the people who, are not really going to be fulfilled and happy on Valentine's Day. There's a lot of people that, you know, that day is kind of filled with more sadness and anxiety than happiness. So I'd like to pray for them.
Well, just on that point, if anybody has a spare Valentine's card and wants to send it to Reed at the station, I'll give out the address in the next segment, okay? I presume you take chocolates and flowers as well, Reed, do you?
Yes, I do.
No, but it's a good point, Reed. Yeah. I mean, but also maybe we could turn it around and that anybody who thinks they're called to marriage and is single at the moment, let's pray that their future spouse suddenly appears out of the blue and that they go on to have very happy, very holy marriages. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like a deal?
That'll be great.
Okay, so let's pray for that. Let's pray for lots of happy, holy marriages, because we need them. We need them, because they produce little souls, and then those little souls give great glory to God. So let's do that. Is Mike available, or is he busy?
He's busy. He watches the phones during this period.
Okay, that's fine. In which case, Mary, I'm coming back to you. What do you need that we can pray for?
My son, Justin, just had foot surgery. My friend Sherry had knee surgery. My brother-in-law had back surgery, so for those, for healing.
Okay, so Justin with his foot, Sherry with her knee, and your brother-in-law with his back.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. No, that's great. Three very specific prayers. I like them. We ask for healing for all those parts of the body and for the individuals concerned. And we ask that the Lord heal them quickly, and also give them a peace of mind about this. Illnesses can always upset us, and it's good to have peace of mind. So we pray for that. Okay, Pam, what do you need?
I need guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Just guidance to do what I'm supposed to do.
Okay. Well, we pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire you and somebody to help you in that path. The Lord will come to the Lord always answers that prayer, okay? Lord, show me the way. Show me the path. Invoke the Holy Spirit, and we invoke the Holy Spirit on all of us now as we pray together for this, that Pam is given the light of wisdom. And we pray for Mary that her friends and loved ones will have their foot, their back, and their knee healed. We also pray for Mary and Pam. Pray for Reed, Mike, Ellen, Michelle, everybody, and Sherry, everybody at Archangel Radio, everybody listening, and everybody who's calling in. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude together, ladies. Holy God.
Holy mighty one.
Holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy mighty one. Holy immortal one. Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy mighty one. Holy immortal one. Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Mary and Pam, I can't thank you enough for taking time out to come in and to pray with me and all our listeners.
It's a blessing.
Thank you.
I hope you're going to come back again.
I hope so.
Yes, I would love to.
And spread the word of Christ the King that there's an open invitation. Anybody wants to come in. If you want to bring in 5, 6, we'll accommodate them. Don't let Mike or Reed put you off. We'll bring them all in. Okay. Don't listen to them. And also, you're great. You've come back again, which is a great sign that it wasn't so bad, right?
Correct.
And we really do need prayer warriors like you, and it helps me a great deal, but it helps everybody who's asked for prayers. So ladies, really, sincerely, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim, for having us.
Yeah. Okay, when we come back, we are going to be talking more about the life of St. Kateri, a wonderful American saint. You're not going to miss us. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's such a privilege to be with you, and it's such a privilege especially to pray with you these days. I can't think of anything I'd rather do than be on this radio station praying. Even if the show only lasts to the end of the week, doesn't matter. It's been worth it. Now, talking of lasting to the end of the week, I was wondering if our intrepid team, our sort of Batman and Robin of the Archangel world, Mike and Reed.
Hey, I like that. The Batman and Robin.
But you know that what that makes me, though, then, Mike?
Or the Joker?
No, that makes him Alfred.
Alfred?
Alfred. Listen, Reed.
Come on, man.
More the Penguin.
Don't do that, dude.
Anyway, listen. What did you think of Nicole and the film world? Now, I know, Mike, you've had thespian leanings, if I can say that.
Sure.
So, yeah. I mean, does it make you? I mean, listening to her, I felt like I needed to lie down. I mean, does it put you off that sort of glamorous world of filmmaking?
You know, I mean, I've been in a. Mm-hmm. You know, been an extra in films before, and I've done, student films. There are a lot of work, but yet, you know, they're at the same time, it's very rewarding. I mean, obviously what she does, you know, she's a producer, you know, director and actor. So yes, her world is she's got triple the amount of work, you know, all than her team.
I
mean,
I can't believe what he was saying about how she acts the scene out and then says cut at the end of the scene and then reviews the scene as the director and then walks back onto the set and then acts it. That's what he was mentioning.
I mean, she's producing, directing, writing, and starring in. I mean, she almost does as much as Michelle. Don't worry, she's not listening. She never listens to this show. But no, it was absolutely exhausting listening to her. But I mean, also, I mean, she knows exactly where her source of power is, which is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is powering her through the whole thing. So it's absolutely fascinating listening on that score.
It was in a different way than the way that it's exhausting to listen to us, huh?
Oh.
I don't know. You know how to hurt me, Reed. Well, I mean, I don't know what I can say to that, Reed. I mean, we do our best, right? I mean, we try to entertain for 2 hours, and we try to. I mean, and you know, people phone in, and we try to help them with whatever their issues are, and at the very least, we pray together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't be all bad. So, well, listen, shall you grab your trumpets and drums and shall we go story time?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I want to say, you know, Chris, was it Chris Lindsay? Was that his last name?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just listening to him talk about her sort of Mamba mentality towards her work, her passion, that in and of itself was very inspiring to hear him talk about that, and of course, like she said, what she was talking about, what we were talking about yesterday, Kevin, about how there's going to be attacks against you, you know, demonic things that you cannot, you know, she didn't use the word demonic per se, but
I think she did actually.
Oh, she did. She may have, you know, She realizes that when you're trying to do the good work of Christ, you know, obviously you're going to be attacked. I mean, we heard about it, of course, from Mel Gibson's film, you know, The Passion. I mean, they were attacked every single day. I mean, my God, Mel Gibson was struck by lightning, right?
I mean, so, the devil was powerful enough to even appeal, or not appeal, but like to offer temptations to even Jesus. So, yeah. I mean, he can offer anything to us.
You said it. Exactly right, Robin. You hit the nail on the head.
All right, Kevin. Okay. Well, we did manage to get all the instruments out of the cabinet, so whenever you're ready.
Well, the other thing, just before we go to the musical interlude, I'd just like to thank Wayne and everybody who came and helped out with the fixing of the systems. Because you're right, Mike, you know, that without good people helping us, where would we be?
Amen. Amen.
Do you know what I mean? And without you, our delightful listener, and the people who call into this show, listen, there's nothing you can call in and offend us with or upset us with. We're always glad to take your call, morning, noon, and night. And you can text us at any time. But also during the show, we're very, very happy to take your calls. And never feel that you have nothing to say. Everybody's got something to say, right?
Amen. You're right.
And in Reed's case, he's probably got too much to say today. What do you reckon, Mike?
You know, I'm sure he does.
I'm only joking, Reed.
But
I'll let him run
the board.
There. We need to get this story time on the road. That's the Batman and Robin of Archangel, the new musical troupe. And as I say, I'm the Joker. So take it away, boys. Wonderful. So, welcome to Storytime. That's the moment of this show, the last segment, the final segment, when we kind of slow things down a little bit, take our time with a story or two. And hopefully the story is something which entertains, yes, but also edifies in some ways. That's what it's about. There is a precedent for this, and that was our blessed Lord, right? He told parables, right? He told stories. The only difference is my stories are not parables. They're not made up. I often tell you stories about facts because, you know what? Life is often much more wonderful, much stranger than fiction. And the lives of the saints in particular are so much more interesting than anything Hollywood or Charles Dickens or even William Shakespeare could make up, because they are the closest we have, the closest images we have in this fallen world to God, to the Son of the Father. So, we've been talking about Saint Catherine. Now, let me just give you a quick preamble where we're up to. So, she was born in modern-day upstate New York in the 1650s. And she had a rather troubled childhood. She was born to a Catholic mother and a Mohawk chief. And at a very young age, her parents and her younger brother died to smallpox, and Kettery was herself disfigured by this disease. But it wasn't just a physical disfigurement of her face and her body, but it was also the fact that it affected her eyesight, affected her eyes, which meant that she was uncomfortable in the bright glare of the sunshine. So she kind of retreated into herself, retreated away from the crowd, away from her tribe, into the darkness of the interiors around in which they lived. So already she was being sort of set apart by the Lord in a sense. Now, by all accounts, she was an extremely virtuous, extremely good young woman. And no doubt she would have made a very good wife for one of her tribes. But she had no interest in getting married. And as I said yesterday, her path was that of a mystic. Something interior, something very close to God, and something baffling and mysterious to those around her, especially her extended family. After her parents died, she was taken in by an aunt and uncle. And although they liked her a lot because she was a woman of many, many virtues, they didn't really understand her. In modern parlance, we would say they didn't get her. And this is the other thing about Kateri. Her path might have been that of a mystic, but it was also a kind of slow burn Golgotha. It was a slow walk to Calvary. Because imagine living in a world where nobody really understands you, where nobody really gets you. Now, we've all had times in our lives when we feel like that. But if we were honest, there are probably very few times when was actually the lived reality we were in. We were probably just not in a great mood that day. But Kateri was in a very good mood, but she knew that her path would be misunderstood. Now, she was obviously Catholic, but her faith was really helped greatly by the appearance of a number of French Jesuit priests. Now, remember what we said about the village that she had grown up in? Some priests had been martyred there just prior to her birth. And subsequent to that, there'd been a treaty between the French forces and the Mohawks, which allowed for French missionaries to once again evangelize the Mohawk tribe. And Kettery was to benefit from that because she was to get to know three very good French Jesuits, and they were to get to know her. Now, what struck them straight away about this young woman was that she was very unique and very holy. And the writings of all of these three priests, Fathers de Lamberville, Colignac, and Chutaret, was that this young woman was probably a saint. So, Father de Lamberville started to instruct the child in the faith. Now, she had had some instruction, obviously, from her mother, but the sacramental life of her faith had been interrupted by the various wars and comings and goings between the Mohawks and the French, and the Mohawks not allowing the Jesuit missionaries, etc. Well, Father de Lamberville put a lot of that straight, and on April 5th, 1676, he baptized Kateri, And Kateri, as a name, is a derivation of St. Catherine of Siena. She was named after that great Dominican mystic who died in Rome at about 1340, aged just 30. Now, when she was baptized, and it's interesting, we were talking about infant baptism today. Kateri was obviously much older than that. But when she was baptized, Kateri responded to her baptism with an immense joy. It is said that the baptism opened her to the life of the praying Catholic community in a way that she had never experienced previously. And it was something which those three Jesuit priests were very much to the fore and were ministering. So from then on, she was regularly seen at morning and evening prayer at the local chapel, as well as attending the sacrifice of Holy Mass. But although she'd been baptized, she had not yet made her first Holy Communion. So this was a child who was very much a prayerful soul, who watched and waited for the moment when she could receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. If anything, her baptism intensified this deep longing within Kateri, not just for the Eucharist, but also for a greater sense of prayer and solitude. In another time, in another place, I would imagine that Kateri would have been a very, very good candidate at a monastery with the Benedictines or the Dominicans or even the Carmelites, something like that. She'd have been perfect. She loved solitude, prayer, and the Eucharist. What more is there? Now, I remember Catholicism was more or less tolerated among the Mohawks. But Kateri was something else for them, right? I mean, she had not only embraced a new faith, or the faith which set her apart from most of the Mohawk world, but she'd also chosen not to marry and had gradually withdrawn from the tribe's social activities. This provoked a certain amount of misunderstanding, shall we say, being charitable, or even a little bit of hostility towards her, because she was perceived as rejecting her own people. Now, we know this isn't the case. We know that she is on a mystical path, which is one of solitude, prayer, and the sacraments, and something which is very special only to a few souls. Still, the tribe did not understand this. As I say, most of them were not Christians. So poor Kateri drew down suspicion and comment, mockery and taunt. The name they used to call her when they were deriding her was a name which she really, really appreciated, because they used to taunt her, saying, "The Christian." They'd call her the Christian. And she was very happy to be known as that. They thought they were insulting her, and she thought they were giving her the greatest accolade possible to be called Christian. Now, by the time she was baptized, Kateri had also acquired a set of rosary beads and was always seen to be carrying them. Now, I know we were joking around today about the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the sound of the rosary beads on the microphones, but it is a very, very comforting sound, because it's somebody deep in prayer. And Kateri became very devoted, not just to the rosary beads, but to the saying of those rosary beads and to that great prayer. Unfortunately, this also upset her relatives, because they had somebody who they didn't understand, embracing wholeheartedly a faith they didn't quite understand either, carrying round a set of beads, praying them constantly. It just wasn't what they wanted. However, there were some other Catholics in the Mohawk world, and she very famously went on pilgrimage with them to the Mohawk capital, which was Tonantoquin, for the unveiling of a statue to Our Lady. Now, I don't know about you, but I was very touched by it when I read about this, because we have here the Mohawks, one of the fiercest tribes in North America, and we have Catholic brothers and sisters of ours of a former time going on pilgrimage together to venerate a statue of Our Lady. Just as we do in the month of May in this country, and I'm sure in the United States, you go to churches and you venerate a statue of Our Lady. Well, centuries earlier, these new Christians, these new Catholic Mohawks, went to venerate our Eternal Mother. Now, the statue had been sent over from Belgium, and it was unveiled at this Mohawk capital. And when Catherine saw it, she was absolutely amazed. In fact, the pilgrimage and the viewing of that statue proved to be a very, very important experience for Catherine. But again, it was an experience which was internal rather than anything external. She didn't hear voices, she didn't see anything like St. Bernadette or anything like, it wasn't like that. But she had a sort of internal intuition of what God's plan was for her. And she started to understand that God wanted her to remain a virgin, not to get married, and also was calling her to solitude in order to taste the greater love of all, which is divine love. She would later say that somehow gazing upon that statue of Our Lady, perhaps as a young girl not much older than Catherine, she began to understand and comprehend what was God's plan for her. Now, a number of months after she was baptized, one of the priests suggested that she go and live in another village, which was just south of modern-day Montreal. And it was a village known as Kanaweka, and this was a Jesuit mission post. And this place really was very, very remarkable. When I read about it, I couldn't believe what I was reading. Because what you had here was a settlement of native peoples, all of whom were converts to the Catholic faith. So Catherine traveled there at the end of 1677 with a letter of introduction from one of the French priests. And in that letter, he asked that the priests there be very, very conscious of the wonderful, what he described as the wonderful treasure that they were sending to them. In the end, Catherine would spend about 2 years living at this Jesuit mission. It was interesting because she was retracing the steps of her mother. Do you remember her mother came from a Jesuit mission territory in Canada before she was captured by the Mohawks? So Catherine was sort of moving back in that direction. But anyway, let me tell you about this mission because it's really, really impressive. So it comprised 150 souls. And they were all Native Americans from different tribes, but all united by one faith, their Catholic faith. And interestingly, the previous enmities between the different tribes all disappeared once they settled in this village. And in this village, the traditional Native American ways of life and lifestyle were completely continued. The local tribesmen would hunt and fish, and the women would look after the village and the children, etc., etc. Just it went on as any other North American tribe would live, except there was one important difference. All the people assembled were Catholic. Now, throughout the territory, rumors began to circulate about this mission place. And at that time, there were a lot of settlers in that part of Canada from France. They came to the New World and they settled there, and they were all devout Catholics, or certainly Catholics. And they were curious. They heard rumors about this place, and they couldn't quite believe that Native American Indians would be living in this fashion. So Some of them went and visited it. And what they found was even better, stranger even, than what they had expected. So you can imagine this little village, and at its center there was a mission bell. And that established the rhythm of work, rest, and prayer that the villagers shared in common. And the European visitors would watch his amazement as the villagers stopped work when the Angelus bell was rang. But what surprised them even more, and surprised me for sure, was that these Catholic converts, the Native Americans, would go out evangelizing other Native American tribes. These were lay people. And they had a great deal of success with their fellow tribesmen in the different tribes thereabout. They would go and talk about the gospel. Can you imagine? Now, needless to say, Kateri took to the life of this village like a duck to water, right? And she immediately started to join the priests and the community in the prayer, which would begin at 4 a.m. They would wake up and have matins, pray the prayer of matins at 4 a.m. And then that would be followed by early morning mass. There was a later mass at 8 a.m., which many of the villagers attended. And then they would all recite the rosary together. Can you believe this? And it is said that throughout the day, many villagers could be seen making visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Amazing, incredible. Kateri thrived in this atmosphere of sincere piety, and she would attend Holy Mass daily, even though she hadn't made her first Holy Communion. Every morning, winter or summer, she would be at the church at 4 a.m. And she would remain there for many silent hours when not doing what she needed to do. In addition, she undertook penances. She would walk barefoot in the snow and would sometimes be seen kneeling, praying her rosary in the snow-covered woods. She would even pray through the night in the chapel. She also began limiting herself to just one meal a day. You see, all these mortifications were carried out in a spirit of atonement for sinners and a desire to live in the presence of God. Finally, she made her first Holy Communion. And the priest who gave her communion said afterwards she seemed altogether different. So much was she filled with God and His holy love. From then on, the priest noted that her Sundays and feast days were passed almost entirely praying at the foot of the altar. However, by the winter of 1679, Kateri's health was beginning to fail. She'd never been robust. She'd been ill, as we know, with smallpox as a child. And her body was unable to endure the long austerities that she had begun to endure. In due course, she became bedridden. But she was still able to pray during that period and to recite her rosary. And when she was able to, she would walk to the chapel. And there she would sit on one of its benches while gazing upon the Blessed Sacrament. During the last months of her life, her sufferings were extraordinary. But she offered this all up to her Savior. As Holy Week of the year approached in 1680, her condition worsened and she was brought Holy Communion for the last time. And with that, she received the last rites, and she knew her time was drawing to a close, and she started to speak, and this is what she said. I'm leaving you. I'm about to die. But I will love you in heaven. I will pray for you. I will assist you. Then she fell silent for a while, and her last words heard by all assembled were, Jesus, I love you. And with that, on April 17th, 1680, aged just 24 years old, Kateri entered into heaven, the heaven she had longed to be in for so long. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for being with me on the Turley Frequency. Let's do it all again, same time, same frequency, same Turley, here on Archangel Radio. So until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. Until tomorrow, may God bless you and keep you.